Welcome to the Men on Purpose podcast, featuring dynamic conversations with emerging and established visionary men on purpose. Thanks for joining us today as we celebrate the men on purpose who are committed, creative, courageous change makers all around the world. Now, here's the host of Men on Purpose, Emerald Greenforest.
And welcome to another episode of the Men on Purpose podcast, where we celebrate men on purpose and provide our listeners with wisdom and immediately actionable steps to be more purposeful, powerful, and positive in their impact and their leadership. This is Emerald Greenforest, and I am here with a very special guest, Nick Alvary. Nick is a peak performance coach who helps people unlock their full potential. He battled with hard drug and alcohol addiction for over a decade. Overcoming this life-threatening adversity gave him the insight into what it takes to create lasting change and build habits that stand the test of time. We are, after all, the sum of our daily habits. Nick is the host of the wildly successful Daily Habits podcast, is a sought-after speaker on the subject of building lasting change, and the creator of the Supercharger Academy, which is his flagship program that arms his clients with the tools to becoming unstoppable in achieving what's most important to them. So I'm super excited to have you here with me today, Nick, coming from over the pond in the UK, and I'm really excited for our time together. And I do have to mention how we were connected is with my friend Arlene Battisil, who has her own podcast as well. And so we are just a podcast love family going on here today. So welcome, Nick. Thank you so much for being here with me.
Thank you. It's an honor. Thank you for having me.
Well, Nick, I like to start because I believe most anybody who's listening to this podcast is either a man on purpose or a man on purpose in the making. And I believe that what defines a man on purpose is one who has a calling. So clearly you are somebody who had a calling. I'd love to have you talk a little bit about the experience of receiving that calling, like where you were when that happened, and the process that you went through internally to say yes to that calling.
I think for me, it's been instilled with me for a long time. I think it's been this just innate want to be able to help people. And over the years, it's progressed and organically changed. And, you know, ultimately with my experience with, you know, hard drug abuse for over 10 years, and, you know, watching my father who passed away 7 years ago, but he had MS through his whole life. And that was, you know, the two timelines ran in tandem, which was my addiction was to escape the pain from my father, you know, going through what he went through and the rest of our family went through. And it's really been like, I would say that there wasn't like a moment that everything was like, right, now I'm doing this. It's always been a theme. But what I would say is the last few years coming sober, because it's going to be like 7 years in June the 19th this year. So it'll be 7 years sober. Thank you.
Five claps for you. Yay.
Thank you. You know, but I think coming outside of that, coming out to the other side of that has given me the ability, like the first 4 years were really trying to figure out who I was, like what was going on, like shedding this sort of facade who I'd been for that period of time. And just like an onion, getting those layers peeled back to really sort of see what it is that I had to offer, because I had, you know, I've had an obsession with peak performance as well, running in tandem with these sort of three weird timelines that sit together. And it's been the last few years that I've really started to sort of come out of my shell in a way that has allowed me to see where I can really help people. And ultimately, you know, it's about helping people realize that there is a lot more available to them. And usually it's our mind that limits us for what we think is possible. And, you know, it's really about sort of just giving as much of my experience as possible. And being the sort of person I am, I'm a all-in type of guy. So whenever there's been a subject of fascination, it's been, I want to know everything about it. So I've had the ability to be able to really figure out what does work and what doesn't work. And, you know, sort of we remove the sort of chaff from the weeds, if you like. So to answer your question, there wasn't a magical moment for me specifically, but it's been an underlying theme. And now becoming clean has allowed me to really be the person I need to be able to help people I love helping the most.
Beautiful. So I feel like one of the things that wants to be said here is how courageous it is to come to that moment, whether it's a, you know, an instant moment or just an unfolding moment where you say to yourself, I am complete with doing life in this way that's not serving, right? So congratulations, 7 years sober. That's awesome. I stopped the last of what I was using for alcohol was my like last frontier in 2003. So
congratulations.
Yeah, it's been a long, it's been a lovely long journey. And it does take courage to extract yourself, I think, from the framework that gets built around that lifestyle. So can you talk a little bit about your experience of courage, of your own courage, and what you do to exercise your courage muscle to keep moving away from that which doesn't serve and moving towards that which does?
I think courage, like most things in life, is a habit. And, you know, I was saying to someone the other day, happiness for me is a habit as well. And anything we want to construct and create in our life ultimately is a practice. Like, you know, I always use the gym as an analogy. You don't go to the gym and lift one weight and become hench. You know, it takes reps and sets, right? And it's the same philosophy throughout anything. If we want to become good at a language or driving a car fast or whatever it is, then there's a learning curve and there's a process, and there's a more effective process. And that a more effective process for me is immersion and practice and repetition, and then, you know, effective strategy and spending time with people. So there are a number of things that I like to do from a courage standpoint, like ice baths and cold showers, like cold thermogenesis. So walking when it's snowing, we have recently had some snow here, walking in shorts and a t-shirt is fairly normal for me when it's snowing or when it's really cold. And it's a very good courage builder. I will throw a caveat in there that, you know, if you're not experienced with cold water immersion and that sort of stuff, don't just jump in the deep end, you know, get professional guidance around it, because, you know, jumping into a 2-degree ice bath is not the most sensible thing if you've never done it before. But to answer your question, it gives you that mental courage, because the last thing I want to do, or at least the last thing my mind is telling me it wants to do, is to get into a cold bath or a cold shower or whatever the situation is. So for me, that's a really effective one. And, you know, it always starts with small little steps, right? So when I first started, it was a 5-second cold end to a normal warm shower. And that was, you know, terrifying at that time. And obviously now it's, you know, it's sort of gone off to where it's gone. So I think for me, courage is doing the things that you don't want to do, or doing the things that our mind tells us we don't want to do, because they're two separate things, right? We are not our mind. We are not our thoughts and our feelings, or at least that's how I view it. And I think we have the opportunity to do things all day, every day that we don't want to do. And it takes courage to do that, whether it's asking someone we fancy out on a date or getting into an ice bath or do whatever, right? Making that call in our business or whatever the situation is. So for me, it's a practice.
Yeah, beautiful. You know, I was having a conversation this weekend with a friend of mine about the comfort zone. And, you know, a lot of times coaches and personal development people talk about getting out of the comfort zone. And, you know, what I recognize for myself is that I actually had a lifelong, you know, challenge with drugs and alcohol. And I also had abusive parents and, you know, just all the things where I used drugs and alcohol initially to kind of escape from the existence of my life, right? And it became clear to me that, like, for me at least, actually being comfortable is out of my comfort zone. Like, I find it pretty easy to do the things that a lot of people feel like freaked out about. So I think there's two sides to that kind of equation. And what I wanted to ask you about is, you know, because you came from a background of addiction and, you know, spent 10 years struggling with that, you know, I'd love to have you maybe talk and illuminate a little bit about you know, how we use alcohol and drugs and those things to comfort ourselves, but that there are other ways that we can experiment with our life that's more life-affirming.
Yeah, I think ultimately I'm yet to meet anyone that hasn't had a problem with substance addiction that hasn't used it as a comfort zone of sorts to escape from the pain or the reality or whatever it is that's in their life for them. So I think that's always the case. And I think, you know, with regards to, I mean, that's ultimately the challenge, isn't it? When you come out of the other side of addiction, it's like that question is like, well, what else is there? Because one's life is just addiction. That's all I did every day was get up, do whatever I had to do, go to work maybe if I had a job at that time, and figure out how to get more drugs and use them, right? And that is the fundamental challenge when you come out the other side of addiction, is to figure out, like, what else is there? Like, what is my comfort zone? Like, what could I go and enjoy, right? And I think, you know, ultimately, if we're living in the past, we are living in depression. Or a depressive state. And if we're living too far into the future, we become anxious. But there is this really important point of actually creating a future that we live into, but living from the present, if that makes sense, right?
Yeah.
And I think if there isn't an excited future in front of all, you can't figure out what that is. And when I know when I first came out of addiction, it was scary. It's like, well, what else? What is there? Like, what do I do? So for me, that's been a process. I mean, I love my work, so that's given me a lot of focus. And, you know, the peak performance is a huge subject because humans, it's not just about diet or exercise. It's like, you know, we're a bit more complicated than that, right? But yeah, it's a great question. So for me personally, things that have really helped, meditation has been a massive, massive part. Self-hypnosis has been really powerful. And just being ruthless with who I spend my time with as well. That's crucial. I was speaking to someone the other day who had a problem with crack and recently relapsed. And I was talking to them about the peer group. Like, one of the key things I did when I got out of, you know, left addiction behind, was just radically change my peer group. And it was challenging and it was lonely and it was difficult, but it was the best thing I ever did. Right. And I think that can be one of the biggest challenges, is saying, well, now what is there out there and who can I spend time with? Because I've spent 10, 15, 20 years, whatever your case is, spending my life involved with addiction and the things that surround it.
Yeah, beautiful. I love all that you said. And I'm going to come back to some of that when we come back from the break. We're already at the break. It's really quick. It comes very quickly. So I do want to take a moment right now to thank all of our listeners who are downloading, rating, and reviewing. We've already had thousands of downloads from all over the world. We are now being downloaded in 70 countries. I want to shout out, I feel like shouting out this week to our listeners in Egypt and Serbia. We have listeners in Serbia and Egypt. So thank you so much for listening. And we are going to be right back in just a moment with Nick Elvery.
The Men on Purpose podcast is brought to you by the Creative Age Consulting Group. Men, are you ready to take the leap and go deep to discover the most meaningful mark you can make with your life? Is now the time to consciously craft the legacy life you want to lead? Are you already a legendary leader looking for your big what's next? Creative Age Consulting Group is hired to help men just like you to gain clarity, create consciously, and commit courageously. Please visit timetomakeyourmark.com to apply for an invitation-only consultation. Be sure to apply for a consultation today if you have been inspired to receive support in serving your purpose and making your most meaningful mark. Once again, that's timetomakeyourmark.com, or click on the link in the show notes for access to the application.
And we are back with Nick Elvery. And before we went to the break, we were having a long conversation about, you know, what happens when you walk away from an old life, and whether it's the old life of addiction or any other form of an old life, you know, the things that happen. And one of the main things that needs to happen is to shed your old peer group, because they all hold you in the vibration, the frequency, the mindset, the environment of the old self that you are working to leave behind. So I want to let everyone know, before I jump in to talk a little bit more about that, that you can find out more about Nick and his work helping people to achieve peak performance and his daily habits podcast and all of those wonderful things at nickelvery.com. That's nickelvery.com. And we will have that also in the show notes. So one thing I wanted to kind of pull in from what we were talking about before the break, Nick, was, you know, part of the work is getting clear, like clearing the old people, clearing the old mindset, clearing the old, all the things, right? So as you said earlier, there isn't a person that you've ever met who had an addiction problem that didn't have it as a result of some trauma from their childhood or environment or whatever. So do you have thoughts or ideas or experiences yourself with what to do to clear that old trauma? Because, you know, I think it's like a twofold thing. First, you got to get yourself out of the addiction dynamic just to be able to make some clear choices in favor of a better life. But if the underlying piece that initiated that in the first place isn't addressed, I think that can be a challenge. So can you talk a little bit about that?
This is the critical piece, I think, really, isn't it? Because one can come out of the other side of addiction and, you know, you've probably seen people, and I have, you know, throughout my life, they don't address the reasons that they came in. It's like, you know, weight loss is another example, right? People say, well, weight loss is about not eating so much food. And I say, well, actually, it's about why they got into that place in the first place. It's about what's going on up here in their head rather than the amount of food they're eating. Yes, obviously the food and exercise and those components are a part of it. So the bulk of the work for me was about talk therapy. And there's so many different options around the world. You know, we haven't got scope to go into all of them within this interview, but it's really about finding what works for you and having the courage, like we said at the beginning, to really dive deep into this stuff because it hurts, it's painful, it's scary. We've hidden from it for 10, 15, 20 years, however long your addiction is, for a reason, because we didn't want to go there. And it's having those conversations with the people that we love, that we've hurt. It's clearing up the stuff that we've said that we didn't want, we didn't mean to, and taking responsibilities for those actions, and then creating a future moving forward that we can step into and actually creating a life that we love. Mm-hmm. And asking those questions around, like, what would that look like? And having support from professional people.
Yeah, beautiful. Now I want to talk about creation because Men on Purpose are creators. So Let's talk about how you help people to create their best life and maybe talk a little bit about some of the things besides the things you've already talked about, like meditation and self-hypnosis and so forth. Like, what do you do to keep the creative juices flowing and stay tapped into that creative life force that actually wants to live itself through you?
Okay, so I'm very clear on what I want to achieve over the next year. I don't look too much further ahead than that right now. It's different schools of thought around that. But for me, the phase I'm in right now, it's very orientated around my business and what I'm doing to grow that. But also, you know, creating my life. I think the key thing is to get really clear in as much detail as you possibly can within that, right? And the challenge within that is the limitations that we put on ourselves in our mind. Because we limit ourselves when we create a vision for our life, whether it's a year, 10 years or five or whatever, there's always going to be these self-belief limitations, which are a key component that we need to remove. And it's the stories that we tell ourselves, we give them meaning, and then it gives us a lens of the world that we run around with. And when you create a vision, and I was working with a client recently on this and gave a first draft of their vision for what they wanted to complete by the end of 2019, and sent it back to them and said, okay, cool. What would it look like if we had this fear removed and, you know, spoke through? And then it came back as a completely different version. Mm-hmm. And I think it oftentimes we can easily get trapped and limited, have a sort of ceiling, if you like, which is ultimately always in our head of what's possible. So I always say to my clients that if it's making you excited and you're a little bit scared at the same time, like that's a good balance, like of being outside your comfort zone, but not too much.
Yeah, that's the right spot. Well, I love what you said also earlier about how if you're living in the past, you are kind of in a depressive state. Whereas if you're living too far ahead into the future, you can create anxiety. So I also, you know, I'm just super aware of how quickly life is changing in general. Like there's so much change that we are both creating and participating in on a global level. I would agree with you that the, you know, 10, 20 year vision things may or may not be in service for people, but if we can keep ourselves in the present and work towards a future that is not too far into the future to create anxiety, then we are actually able to course correct along the way. Because if you are creating from like space X, which is maybe just coming out of addiction, you are going to have some limitations, unless of course you get coaching and support like yeah. Nick offers and like I offer. So for those of you who are attempting to do it on your own, I think the most important message I want to offer you here is it's important to get outside vision on your vision, because yeah. somebody outside is going to be able to see potential that you simply can't. So
yeah. And I think just to add something on the point you said there is interesting, is especially coming out the other side of addiction, your plan may for the first 6 months just be about you and just be about focusing on some small milestones. You know, it may not be about creating £10 million worth of wealth or, you know, doing X, Y, and Z or going to climb up. You know, it's all relative to where you are in life. Like the goals that I have now for my life would not fit the person I was when I had just walked out of, you know, with the rehab for the first and second time, right?
Exactly. All right. Well, I want to ask you now what you do internally when it's time to make a choice. How do you make decisions? How do you make powerful decisions that you can stay committed to wholeheartedly?
So I'm quite quick with making decisions. I've learned in business that it's quite an effective way to be pretty quick at making decisions. But the bigger decisions, I like long walks. If I'm honest, like a lot of great people in life, sort of very artistic and creative people have always talked about going on long walks for things. I think there's something, where I live is out in the country. I love trees, I love fields, I love nature. And for me, getting out there and just going on my own for a walk for an hour or two, if I've got a problem that I need to think about, is a great way. There's also a good option that works for some people is before you go to sleep, is asking the subconscious, literally having a conversation with the subconscious and asking the problem out loud to yourself. Sounds crazy, but there's a lot of processes that go on when we sleep. So it's usually along those lines. And I tend not to talk to too many people anymore, unless they are someone who has already achieved what I want to achieve. Mm-hmm. Because I think I've learned over the years that actually when we try and ask other people, and there's good times to be talking to other people and asking for advice, but when we're looking at our own life, how does someone else really know what's good for us, right? We do deep down inside us. And I think oftentimes if we start asking too many other people, it's probably because we're a little bit insecure about what we're trying to achieve and maybe don't believe that it's possible. So I think ultimately, I mean, for a lot of people as well, meditation works really well, like meditating on the idea of that question, whatever that is for them right then. But for me, yeah, long walks are definitely a good way to go.
Beautiful. I love nature. And I feel like Men on Purpose, that's a place where you can go to get nurtured, is definitely go into nature. It helps you to get clear. It helps you to, and movement. Movement and nature are two major keys. So
yeah.
Awesome. All right. Well, we've only got about 3 minutes left. And So I want to end the conversation by asking you, like, who are the people that are the best people to reach out and have a conversation with you? Like, who are the people that, you know, know that you're meant to serve right now? That's like question one. And mm-hmm. then my final question is, how do you celebrate when you have accomplished something?
So the best people to reach out to me are effectively the people that know they've got more to give mm-hmm. and are the sort of people, like they're a reflection of me really a few years ago. They are people that want to achieve a lot more, but for whatever reason, maybe their confidence is knocked or they're having problems with their mindset and their limiting beliefs and that sort of side of thing. So it's really for people that are those, you know, who want to go out and achieve a lot more, but for whatever reason are stuck. And the second question, well, Celebration for me comes in lots of ways. So if it's something, I do a lot of 30-day challenges, and I'll specifically put something at the end of that, like a massage. Like, I love massages. I love just like spending time for myself and taking, you know, time for myself and really putting myself first. Because I think that's something that we often time can neglect and put other things and people in front of us. But for me, I mean, like, yeah, just going, spending time with amazing people, people that I love, going to places. I love traveling. I do a lot of traveling. And also like spending time going to courses to learn new things that I don't already know, right? Like, I think the next four courses I've got lined up in my schedule for this year to learn all sorts of wonderful different things. So it just depends, really. I think for me, variety is really important as well.
Yeah, beautiful. Well, I appreciate that you, amazing person, spent your time today with us and with the Men on Purpose audience. So thank you so much for being with us. Please remember to look up Nick at nickelvery.com. And listeners, we love feedback. Please let us know what you thought of today's show, or send in questions or guest suggestions to listeners@menonpurposepodcast.com. We might even give you a shout out on the show. Thanks for tuning in. Keep your ears open. And remember, you are magnificent men.
Thanks for tuning in, downloading, and listening. Be sure to review and rate Men on Purpose on Apple Podcasts and share with other men who can benefit from today's episode. Men on Purpose is the premier podcast series for informing, activating, and inspiring the leader who has made his money and knows now is the time to make his mark. We welcome your feedback and guest suggestions and invite you to subscribe to our mailing list to be notified of each new episode at menonpurposepodcast.com.